And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. I am joined here in the studio by Barry Ford, director of the University Philharmonic. How are you, Barry?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. It's nice outside, at least.
Yes, yes. We've finally gotten some spring here.
Well, and speaking of which, you've got a spring performance coming up on Thursday. So tomorrow at the Missouri Theater at 7 o'clock.
Yes, absolutely. It's, I think, a fabulous program. We're going to feature all Russian composers, Borodin, Prokofiev, and a lesser-known Russian composer, Vasily Kalinnikov.
Who's an interesting character in his own right.
He very much is. In fact, they're all very interesting characters.
Why don't you go ahead and tell me why you chose the pieces that are being performed, or at least why you chose two out of the three pieces, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, interestingly, we started with the center of this concert. Pedro Ramiro, current concertmaster of the University Philharmonic, was a winner of the University Philharmonic concerto competition. Mm-hmm. And so we had a Russian concerto. And so I was looking for two pieces to frame it with. Every year we hold a concerto competition.
Right.
And the winners of that competition can play on the coming season's concerts.
Okay.
And as I say in the rules of the competition, 0 to 2 winners can be chosen. And so if in the minds of the judges, no one has played well enough to earn the right, then nobody gets to play that year. There can be as many as two. This year we featured last year's winners. One of them was a clarinet duo that played in October. Mm-hmm. And they played the Kromer Concerto for two clarinets. And of course, Pedro won outright as a soloist. And so, this year's competition has yet to come. So we don't know yet.
Okay. But he chose this piece.
Yeah, that was the piece, in fact, that he won the competition with.
Oh, okay. And
generally speaking, that's what happens. There are times, at least this hasn't happened here, but in my previous posting, there was a time where one of the winners had a piece that was simply beyond the capability of the orchestra to accompany. And I simply proposed that maybe we try something else. That is, if you want us to play it with you and actually get a decent recording and all of that. And since we had, about a year to work it out, then it worked.
Nice. And you do this every year. Last year was a flute concerto.
Last year, yes, we had a flautist who played the Ibert concerto. I think that was the only one.
Okay. Nice. Well, we're excited to see this one this year. And this is a great program that you've put together here. I'm excited to see these pieces performed and,
Yeah, anyone who is a fan of, that Russian nationalist school should come to this concert. In spite of the fact that they're all, from the same country, you're going to hear three very different pieces. In fact, I think it's interesting, the violin concerto, when it was offered up for its premiere in Paris, was considered to be too conservative. And yeah, it was premiered alongside another piece that was being premiered that night, the Stravinsky Octet for Winds, and that piece was a hit. So again, the vagaries of time, are like that, because even though the Octet for Winds is a credible piece and it's very popular in its own right, I would still say that that Prokofiev's Violin Concerto is probably more firmly placed in the literature.
Nice.
And The Borodin in the Steppes of Central Asia has always been a favorite piece of mine. It's a beautiful piece to teach, sort of the Russian school of composition. Borodin was one of the what they call Mighty Five or the Russian Five, or depending on which textbook you read. And it's really just a couple of tunes that are reorchestrated over and over and over again. And that's very much right out of the school of Rimsky-Korsakov and such. And then the Kalinnikov Symphony is not very well known. I actually was introduced to this piece in high school through a band arrangement that was done by Glenn Cliff Bainham, who happened to be the director of bands at Northwestern University. Now, I did my undergraduate at Northwestern University, and so that piece was actually played fairly often in my presence, and I always wondered, well, why don't people play the actual orchestral version? And I went back and I studied it, and I thought, and by the way, his arrangement is only of the last movement.
Oh, okay.
The finale, which is glorious. But I went back and listened to the previous three movements. I said, this piece is fabulous. It needs to be heard. And, you know, it's very much out of the vein of Russian romanticism and such as well. It's, you know, his first symphony. It's the one that's most popular. He wrote two.
Right.
And he learned all of the lessons of, you know, his contemporaries and predecessors. You'll hear, you know, the inklings of Tchaikovsky, you'll hear this, that, and the other, but at the same time, you can't call the piece derivative at all. It's a obviously youthful work, and sometimes it really sounds like he's making it up as he's going along. You know, it's like, why is there a fugue here? Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, and he had moved to... I had left Russia and moved to Yalta at this point.
Yes, and for health reasons.
Right, you know, tuberculosis.
He was suffering from tuberculosis and unfortunately died very young. I think only 35 years old when he passed away. You know, the symphony was widely acclaimed after its premiere and such, and people were looking forward to him producing quite a lot more of amazing music. It was so well supported, I believe, that like Rachmaninoff and others, you know, essentially bought the symphony and then paid the money to his widow so that she could support herself and such. And so he had quite a lot of support, even in death, frankly. We shall not hear his like again.
Yeah. Well, this show, again, is tomorrow evening, Thursday, May the 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Missouri Theater, the University Philharmonic, under the direction of Barry Ford.
Thanks,
Dr. Ford, thanks so much for coming out and telling us all about this show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.